Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's actually rather sad news, usually, when the Bible talks about vines, vineyards, or grapes. When Linda and I were talking about those vineyard fires that I talked about in the children's sermon, when I was asking her permission if I could use that video, she said, she texted me, "Those are my babies." And that's actually really how God regards his people and why that image of the vineyard shows up time and time again throughout the Bible. God gives his people, his vineyard, everything that they need, his faithfulness, his love, commandments to live by, ways to pray, and a plumb line for justice. And vines and vineyards and grapes should be symbols of how God and people live together in covenant, how people live with one another through God's own love and faithfulness. But the story, time and time again, is that the vineyard doesn't flourish. God's people turn their backs on God and worship other ones, heap burdens on people who are poor, chase justice from their land, and in general just do their own thing apart from God's covenant relationship. The fruit it produces is wild and sour. And so thus the vineyard becomes a symbol of God's judgment. Weeds take over, the fences are torn down, wild animals come in to forage. Beware prophets wielding fruit metaphors, a seminary professor once said to me, because it's a sign that God is going to come and burn the whole thing down. So when Jesus comes in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, on the night before his death, when he comes to tell us he is the true vine, it's a relief. Because what Jesus is saying here is that he has come to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves, which is stay in right relationship with God and with one another. We cannot always be faithful, but he is. We find connection difficult, but he is the root of life and the source of connection to God itself. And he will care with equal regard for each of his people, giving special mercy to those whom the world has despised. We, the people, are still in the picture, make no mistake, but we are not vines. We're just branches. He'll connect us to the Father, and it is through him that we'll find right connection to one another. I've come to appreciate this strong symbol of connectedness, this really strong symbol of grace, of Jesus doing for us what we can't do for ourselves, and its meaning for being the church in this time. This past week, our Thursday morning Bible study was reflecting on how much relationships matter in the church, and in some ways, how challenging developing relationships and strengthening them has become throughout this pandemic, when the circumstances in which we live have put strain on connectedness in every way. Not eating together, not being able really to gather together, the experience of everybody being in a slightly different place with this virus. As I've said to our staff ad nauseum, one of the most challenging aspects of being church in this moment, being this congregation, is that we have people on absolutely every single part of the spectrum. When it comes to masks, sense of risk, vaccines, and gathering, and how to do online things or not. And with that, we're like every other institution, because no human institution was prepared for this level of disruption, and there's no hidden knowledge out there about how to do it all perfectly. Believe me, I have tried to find it. And it's tempting under situations of extreme stress like this to try to divide ourselves up based on where we find ourselves on the spectrum. And you see this in society writ large all around us, to find our in-group, the people who think like we do, and to cast the people who don't agree into some kind of out-group. If you've heard or uttered the phrase, there's no vaccine for stupid, that's in-group and out-group thinking at work. Or if you've heard the term sheeple, that's in-group and out-group thinking at work. According to the psychologists who study such things, this kind of in-group, out-group thinking is actually really normal. It's the way we discharge all of our energy and create safety for ourselves in the midst of our mess. It's how we know that I'm right and they're wrong. The problem is that it's ultimately a dysfunctional way of being, which does not mean that it doesn't function for us. It does. It just creates pain all around us. The problem with in-group, out-group thinking is that it doesn't really reflect the peaceful vineyard image that God wanted us to be. It makes us more into a mess of brambles or the burn-it-all-down situation some of the prophets describe when they're wielding fruit metaphors. Obviously, we have something singing in the background here. I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, that situation, that's why it's such good news that Jesus comes to connect us and to be the true vine. He comes from the Father, and he is perfectly faithful. He comes from heaven, but is firmly planted in the earth. And his love will last through storm and wind and drought and freeze. He offers in his very being the self-giving love that we cannot muster on our own. And it is that grace, that self-giving love, that creates and forms the only in-group that's really worth being counted as being a part of. The in-group that is connected through God's own self-giving to Christ. In the face of enormous stress, arrest, persecution, crucifixion, Jesus, the true vine, holds on to his identity as God's beloved Son. Risen from the dead and now alive, that self-giving love is the only thing that can save us. The only thing that makes a way out of no way. The only thing that reveals, the only thing that can reveal the source of true life, which is not what we think about ourselves or about anybody else, but what God thinks about us. Abiding and remaining in his love and regarding our own lives simply as works of God's grace is the path to life. None of us deserves to be a part of that in-group. None of us got there by our right thinking or our right behavior. But God in mercy accepted and loved us and welcomed us. So beware prophets wielding fruit metaphors, but welcome Jesus offering one. And so in these days, I wonder what it's like for us to contemplate the image of the vine. I wonder what it's like just to imagine connecting to God through it. I wonder what difference it might make if we imagine connecting one another to one another and the rest of our hurting world through that love. In the Gospel of John, as Jesus will explain in next week's Gospel, and in the first letter of John, which Susan just read for us, love is the only thing that matters. Not being right in any absolute sense, but showing regard for another's well-being. We cannot do that on our own. But thanks be to God, it comes to us as a gift. We love, 1 John says, because he first loved us. because he died and was raised for us, not to burn it all down, but to give us life so that we can survive the stresses and the frost, so that we can bear fruit. Amen.